I've shut my mouth when I should have opened it. I failed to share the gospel when I should have shared the gospel. I failed to hand out a gospel tract when I should have handed out a gospel tract. America's tide is not going to be turned if the Christians don't do the turning. It's our responsibility to do so. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here. Take your Bibles with me tonight. Go to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter number 1. We're going to cover a little bit here in the book of Jonah. I want to draw really one main idea, one main concept, and point out of this portion of Scripture. While you're turning there, let me give you a little bit of my history, a little bit of my background. You can get to know me a little bit. As Pastor mentioned, my name is Jason Bartels. I grew up really in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is where, at one time, a tour group, Providence Baptist College tour group, came through and presented their ministry. And I remember seeing them and watching them sing. It was a guy's group. It was not a ladies' group at that time, but there was a guy's group that had come through. And I remember thinking about it. I was like, wow, that was good. I enjoyed that. I was able to talk to some of the guys that were on the group. I had two younger brothers, and all three of us are pretty close in age. And so we were all coming up through, getting ready to graduate high school. I had just graduated that year. I was getting ready to go into business administration school there in Missouri, going to a secular college, just pursuing what I believed I wanted to do with my life and what I believed God wanted for me. And so I had enrolled in the Mineral Area College there in Missouri and was just pursuing my business degree. Well, a little time had passed, and of course my two younger brothers, they actually ended up in the same grade. And so they ended up graduating high school the following year. And I remember there was a missionary that had come through, and he was presenting his work and his mission field that God had called him to, and later found out that he was a Providence Baptist College graduate. I was like, man, that guy, he did a great job preaching and presenting his work, and he really seems like he's got a heart for the mission field and a desire for the people that he's going to reach. Man, that was pretty good. And I remember that sticking in my mind. And of course, as any good parent would do, they encouraged me, and they encouraged my younger brothers. Hey, you should go to Bible college for at least 1 year.
Amen.
You don't have to go for four, but go for 1 year and just leave all options on the table, pray, seek God, see what he may have you to do. And if there's nothing else, guess what? Business school will be calling. It'll be there when I get back. And
Amen.
So I remember my two younger brothers had decided they were going to go to Providence Baptist College, and they were already set on it. They had made a trip. They visited the school and checked it out. They visited the church and so on. And I did not make that trip with them because I was set in my ways. I knew where I was going. I was going to business school. I was going to finish my degree there and move on and make some money, right? And so that was my purpose and my plan. And God had brought some things through my life that summer that I needed to go through, that God brought me through intentionally and on purpose. And it wasn't fun necessarily to go through, but I thank the Lord that he did. And troubled the water, so to speak. He stirred it up for me to get me to realize, hey, you know what? Maybe now's a good time just to go. Go for a year. And so I jumped in the car last minute, sent in my application last minute, and got the finances last minute. And we all three, myself, my two younger brothers, all jumped in the car, and we headed off to Providence Baptist College at the same time. So my parents became empty nesters very quickly, which I think they appreciated because they had already sent three older children to Bible college. And so losing the last three, instead of having to wait every year, you know, they got rid of all of us at the same time. So my younger brothers and I, we all ended up at Providence Baptist College, and it was that first semester there at Bible College that God started really working in my heart. And I remember praying and seeking God's will, saying, God, you know, what would you have me to do? And I had prayed about being a pastor. I had prayed about being a missionary. God did not continue to burden my heart in those areas, did not continue to work in those areas. And so I was like, okay, what else is there, Lord? And he said, well, how about an evangelist? So I started praying about, God, would you want me to be an evangelist? Is that something you would have me consider? Well, God wouldn't leave me alone about that one. And he just kept going. And kept working on my heart. And then a chapel service with Pastor Keith Harrison. We have chapel 5 days a week. We get preached at, and I thank the Lord for it. I need it. And our pastor says it often, we need more preaching, not less. And I need more preaching. And so during a chapel service, I remember Pastor Keith Harrison getting up and preaching a message, and he said, what is your excuse for not surrendering to the call of God on your life? Man, that hit me. And I was like, you know, I hadn't really been making excuses, but I sure haven't just surrendered. God hasn't let me alone about this. The other ones I prayed about, and God kind of let it go, and it was pretty clear. But this one, God hasn't let go. God's still working on my heart. God's still stirring. And so I remember going to that altar at that chapel there at Providence Baptist College, getting on my face before God and saying, God, here I am. I'm yours. You want me to be an evangelist? I'm all yours. I'm all in. Let me have it. And so from that day on, God called me to be an evangelist. Very thankful for that. And I knew I wasn't just going to be there for a year anymore. I knew, okay, here we go. I'm changing from just general studies and a one-year Bible certificate, and I'm going for a four-year evangelism major, and I thank the Lord for that, and graduated in 2018. Met my wife at Providence Baptist College. She's made the trip with us, but I left her back at the hotel. We've got a sick little one back at the hotel, so they're trying to recover from that sickness that they've got. But be in prayer for them as well. Just traveling on the road and being sick is no fun. You can ask the ladies. They've had their share of it, and we're done with it. Done with the sickness. Traveling's great. Sickness and traveling, bad combination. Let's just leave that all alone, all right? But it really is a blessing to be able to travel and represent the college. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. We have a display set up there in the back of the auditorium with some more information, some info cards, some little booklets that have some information regarding the college. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. That's what we're here for. And of course, again, as I said before, I can't emphasize it enough, pray. If God would have you to attend a Bible college, pray and seek your pastor's advice on that. But it's a blessing to be able to be with you tonight. And I hope to be, it's already been a blessing, and I hope to be a blessing to you in the preaching this evening. Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to look in verse number 1. We're going to read through all 17 verses. I'm going to read quickly, just listen as I read. Verse number 1, it says this, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I want to preach a message tonight with this one thought, one simple, plain thought. Whose ship are you rocking? Whose ship are you rocking? Because Jonah was not just guilty of rocking himself. He had other people who were in the danger zone with him. He wasn't by himself. There were all the mariners. There were the people that were on the ship with him that now, because of Jonah's fear and because of Jonah's lack of discernment, because of Jonah's decision to run from God and to try to hide from what God had called him to do, now there were many other people that were being put in danger as a result of his decision. So whose ship are you rocking? Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. My dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We're so thankful that we have a place that we can come and we can worship you freely. We don't have to hide. We don't have to be embarrassed. We don't have to be ashamed. Yes. We didn't have to meet underground somewhere, Lord. We get to meet freely here in America. Thank you so much for that freedom. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to fight for that freedom as long as we have breath. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to share the gospel as long as we have breath, that we'd reach as many people as we can for your sake. Lord, for your honor and glory, that they would reach others. Lord, that we would see America turn the tide. Lord, that we would see America come back to you, that we would see America come home to what it was founded upon, the biblical truths and principles that America was founded upon. Lord, we've drifted away from that. So, Lord, please, I pray that you help this message tonight. Will you please fill me with your Holy Spirit and power? God, will you help me to preach exactly what you would have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit have free reign in all of our hearts. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Reprove and rebuke us where we need to be reproved and rebuked. But Lord, also exhort us and lift us up and encourage us to stay in this fight for your honor and glory. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Go back to verse number 1 in chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The book of Jonah, the story of Jonah, is not one that's really, it's preached on quite often. It's one that you're going to be a little familiar with. But there are several things that to note or to point out in this portion of Scripture when he says, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. That great city. But who did he call? He called Jonah. He called one man to go to that great city. Now, don't get me wrong, there are small cities, there are small towns that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in this particular case, God had called it a great city. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. I love how God, really all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, the whole Word of God, He gets very, very specific at times. I think He knows we as Christians, we need some specific instructions at times. We need it spelled out for us to know exactly what God wants us to do. And God had made it very, very clear for Jonah. Arise. In other words, get off your seat. Let's get to work. There's something that has to be done. You can't do it from sitting down. Let's get busy. Let's get in the work of God. Arise. Go to Nineveh. Gave him the direction. Told him exactly where he was supposed to go. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Why do you need to cry against it, Jonah? Because their wickedness is great. They're a wicked people. They need healing, spiritual healing. They need some help. Jonah, you got to get to that city. Now you see Jonah's reaction to that in verse number 3. But Jonah rose up. Oh, he did what God told him to do, right? He rose up. Arise. Okay, he rose up. But what did he do? To flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he was told to arise. He was told to go to the city of Nineveh to cry against it because their wickedness was great. But then you see the very next thing he does is he got off his seat, but he took off. He was trying to run from the presence of the Lord. He was ready to get out of there. Now, if you study some of the history of the city of Nineveh, some of the tortures and the persecutions that they were doing to people were not something that you wanted anything to do with. And maybe perhaps Jonah already knew their history. Jonah already knew the way that these men behaved themselves. Jonah already knew the wickedness that they were involved in. And he says, God, really, do you want me to go to that people? They may torture me. They may crucify me. They may beat me up. They may cast me out of the city. I don't know what they're going to do, God. You see where all the doubts and the fears can come in and creep into our own lives where, oh, now all of a sudden we're deciding that we know what's better than what God knows. That's where Jonah was at. Jonah decided that he was like, no, that's not the place for me to go. That's a great city. It's a big place. And I'm one man. And I know that if they gang up on me, there's no way that I have any defense against them. I'll be useless. What am I going to do against this great city? This great people? How am I supposed to reach these people? These people are wicked. Notice that God was sending somebody to them to reach them. I would dare say that there was nobody already there doing the job. There was nobody already there sharing the gospel. There was nobody already there trying to get them to turn around from their wickedness that they were involved in. So God says, Jonah, you're the man. You're the time. This is your time. I need you. I need you to enter into this battle. I need you to go to the city of Nineveh. I need you to go and cry against it. And God's man that he decided, that's the man that I want, was the man that also decided, no, that's not what I want. I don't need to go there. And you see exactly how he responded. We read that. He found a ship going to Tarshish. Don't miss the phrase here. So he paid the fare thereof. He paid the fare thereof. He literally paid his money to try to run away from God. He literally was like, you know what? This is what I've got. I got to get out of here. Shipmaster, what's your fee to get on this boat? I got to flee. You're going to Tarshish? Great. That's where I want to go. That's the opposite direction. Get me out of here. And so he pays the fare. He takes the money that he has and he literally pays the fare to try to get away from his calling and from his responsibility to what God had called him to do. Oftentimes we as Christians can be guilty of doing the same thing. We pay it. It may not be financially, but we pay the fare. The fare is always going to be paid. Jonah paid the fare to get into that ship and run from God. But he didn't realize what it was actually going to cost him. You say, well, he already paid it. He knew what it cost. Yeah, he knew what it cost to get on the ship. He didn't know what it was going to cost him in the long run. He didn't know he was going to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish that God had prepared to swallow him up because of his decision to run from God. He didn't know that he was going to be caught in a massive storm where the sea is, the waves are tempestuous and the lives of the mariners that are on the ship were also in danger. He didn't know that was going to cost him that. He didn't know. But he paid the fare thereof to run from God. You see in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were into the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. You know, that portion of Scripture has made my mind have some questions ever so often. Okay, these mariners are up on the top of the ship and they're trying to take everything that they can and throw it off of the ship to keep the ship afloat. The waves are crashing against it. They're afraid the ship, that the Bible says it was like to be broken. They are nervous that their ship is going to crumple at any moment. The next wave could be the wave that breaks their ship and they go underwater, never to be seen or heard from again. They are exceeding afraid. They're running around with everything they can trying to figure out what they've got to do. And where's Jonah? Jonah's fast asleep in the bottom of the ship. He's fast asleep. You know, that to me, that's a picture of how comfortable I can get outside of the will of God. I can get very comfortable outside of the will of God. Man, I've got myself a nice job. I'm making a good amount of money. I've got a nice house. I've got my nice vehicles. I've got the latest and greatest of the technology that's out there that the world has to offer. I've got a good church family. I'm going to church every week, but I'm not going soul winning, and I'm not participating in the ministries, and I'm not singing in the choir, and I'm not doing this. And okay, so you're busy working for the world and what the world has to offer, but you're not doing anything for the Lord and what the Lord already offered you and gave you. You see, I can get really comfortable in my backsliding. I can get really comfortable sleeping in the bottom of the ship and not even be aware of what's going on around me. Not even aware that I'm the one causing the problems that are happening all around me because of my sin, because of my bad decision. You see, we're rocking somebody else's ship. Jonah was rocking somebody else's ship. He may have got in there, but he was rocking somebody else's ship because of his decisions. My decisions can rock the boat for other people. My decisions can cause the ship to be in the same position they were in, where it's like to be broken. And other lives are in danger. Verse number 5, right there in the end of it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come, and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. That's not a coincidence. God chose that. God's like, hey, let me reveal to you whose cause this has come upon you. Let me reveal that to you. Verse number 8, then said they unto them, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us." And then they start questioning, "What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou?" They're starting to find out, hey, you were the one who drew the short straw. You better start talking. Yeah. I want to know why the ship is being almost going to be broken, and we're in this tempestuous sea, and the waves are blowing, and the wind is blowing, and it's raining hard. We're trying to throw everything off the ship we can. You're downstairs sleeping in the bottom of the ship. You drew the short straw. You better start talking. What's going on? Sure. Who are you? Where are you from? And then he gives them an answer that doesn't really settle them. It makes them more afraid in verse number 9. And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Because he told them. He came out and was honest with them. But then it says in verse 11, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, you see what the men are trying to do. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. You know who they were fighting against? They were trying to row against God. You're not going to win rowing against God. God's the one who sent the wind. God's the one who sent the waves. God's the one who sent the tempestuous sea. And they're trying to save Jonah's life. No, we cannot cast this man overboard. We must row hard. We can get it to land. And they go and they go until they finally say, we're not making any progress. We're not getting anywhere. And then they said in verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Notice that one. That one's all capitalized. When just a few verses earlier, verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, but yet it's not capitalized. Little G-O-D. You see, they're crying unto their little God. They're trying to get their gods, whoever they were, they're trying to get their gods to stop the storm and to save their lives and to spare their lives. And all of this time, Jonah's in the bottom of the ship and Jonah comes up and the lot casts it upon Jonah and they realize that he was running from the presence of the Lord. Then they were exceeding afraid. Okay, they were afraid of the storm. But now they find out that Jonah serves the one true living God. Now the Bible says in verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid of him. Oh, okay, so there was a little bit more fear for the true God. They knew that there was a God that was more powerful than the God that they were praying to.
Well, what about?
They knew that they had to get a hold of that God in order for something to happen. So who did they pray to next time? Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord. They weren't crying unto their little G-O-D. They were crying unto the Lord. He's the one who's going to be able to answer this prayer. And said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Oh, now they're recognizing him as Lord, right? Now they're recognizing him as, okay, you have done what pleased you. You did not calm the storm. It's still going. We're going to have to throw Jonah overboard because this is what Jonah has told us that's going to have to happen in order for the sea to be calm. And so they finally agree. Here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to throw him overboard. And you're saying, Lord, please lay not this against us. Lay not this innocent blood against us. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered the sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You see, that whole story, the chapter number one, and of course the story goes on. That whole story goes to just show, I could be rocking somebody else's ship because of my decision. Maybe there's a call of God on my life, and I know in my particular case, there is a call of God on my life. I can run from that call. I can run from what I believe God has called me to do. But if I run from that call, who's the people that God had for me to reach that I will no longer reach? Where's the young people, the teenagers that I was supposed to influence that I didn't get to influence because I ran from the call?
Well, amen.
You know what that means? That means they're in my ship. God has put them in my ship. He's put them under that sphere of influence that I could influence these young people for the honor and the glory of God. But yet, because I decided my will for my life was better and I wanted to go make money and I wanted to have a comfortable life and I wanted to have a nice home and nice cars and the latest and greatest technology, because of what I wanted, now the people that God had placed in my ship, now the people that God was going to place in my path are not going to be influenced for the cause of Christ because I decided to go my own way.
Well,
now I'm rocking somebody else's ship.
You know,
it could be as in my family. I could rock the ship for my family. God's put me as the man over my wife and my children, the head of my household. My decisions can rock the ship for my family.
Yes, sir. That's right.
My decisions can rock the ship. What does that also mean for the next generation to come? Not just my children. Lord willing, there'll be children to come after that. And there'll be children to follow after that. And there'll be children to follow after that. You see, I could be rocking the ship, and I have no idea how many people are even in it. I have no idea how many people are in my ship. But I know that I influence. That my testimony can influence people. And if I don't use it for the honor and the glory of Christ, I'm going to rock somebody else's ship. And it has to do with my decisions. You see what Jonah started doing? Let's look in chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Oh, now God's got Jonah where he wants him. He's got him in a place where he's ready to repent and turn from his wickedness and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer of repentance, was willing to turn and say, you know what, Jonah? Let me give you a second chance. Let me give you a second chance. And here it is in chapter 3. Here's Jonah's second chance. And the word of the Lord came again to Jonah the second time. Praise the Lord for a second chance. Amen. God has taken second chances on my life. God's taken second chances with me. I was pursuing a degree in business. I was pursuing my own will. I was pursuing what I believe I wanted to do. And God's like, you know what? Let me just bring some things in your path this summer to get you to realize, you know, just go for a year. Ha ha, go for a year, right? No, just go for a year. That's all you need? Okay, that convinced myself. All right, I'm only going for a year. I'm going to go for a year. You know what? God brought that, I believe, just to get me back to the point, because he needed to have a second chance with me. He took a second chance. You know what? God gave Jonah a second chance. He ran from what he believed God wanted him to do and what God very clearly told him to do, but God also gave him a second chance. But you know what? I see between that second chance and the first chance? There's a heart of repentance with Jonah.
Amen.
That's chapter 2. Amen. That's chapter 2. His heart of repentance came, and he cried out of the belly of the whale, and he was begging God for his forgiveness. He was begging God, God, I am sorry. You see it in his voice and the way he was talking to God. He was repentant. And that repentance is that sorrow and that deep contrition of sin because we have offended God. That's what repentance is. It's a turning away from what we were involved in before in the past and turning unto God. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not just, oh, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's pretty easy to say I'm sorry these days, right? I can go to my wife after I've offended her with my words. I say, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sure that's going to go over well, really well. I'm sure she's going to take that and say, oh, yeah, I know he's genuine. I know he's got it under control now, right? No, but if I go to her and say, listen, I was wrong. I said something that I should not have said. Will you please forgive me? You know, if I go with that kind of an attitude, she's going to see a different heart behind it. You know, we should be approaching God the same way.
Amen.
God, I'm sorry. Oh, really? You're sorry? That's it? You're sorry? Where does the true repentance come in?
Amen.
Where it's, God, I know I have offended you. Because of my offense towards you, I need repentance to turn away from what I was involved in. Jonah, he had true repentance. You know why? Because he didn't continue to try to run after the whale vomited him up on the beach. No, he turned and said, okay, I got to get to Nineveh.
All right.
This is what God's told me to do. I've got to get to Nineveh. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah again the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and so on. You know the rest of the story going through. Jonah was wrecking and rocking some people's ship. Jonah also had, and he may not have realized it at the time, but he also had the whole city of Nineveh inside of that ship with him. Because had he continued to run from the presence and the will of God, those people may not have ever repented. Those people may not have ever returned to the Lord. Those people may have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. Those people may have never made the decisions that caused them to turn back to Christ. But because Jonah did turn, because Jonah did repent, because Jonah didn't turn back and said, you know what, this is what has to happen. I've got to go. I've got to preach against it. The preaching that I will bid thee. I've got to just obey God. I've got to just strap in a buckle on and say, this is what God has for me. I'm willing to do it. And because he got in there, the people's ship who he was rocking, oh, he's settled the waves there now. And he's allowed God to use him. You see in chapters 3, chapters 4 to the end of the book, you see that he allowed God to use him. There was still some complaining later on by Jonah. He didn't want those people to repent. He wanted them. He wanted them to be destroyed from off the face of the earth because of their wickedness. Just recently, kind of a silly illustration, but just recently in Bay City, Michigan, earlier this summer, we were traveling down the road, and it wasn't long. We had left one church. We were headed off to another area in the city of Michigan, or the state of Michigan, and we happened to see, I was driving down the road, we happened to see a couple of police cars coming down the road at us, and they had their lights on, they had their sirens on, and they were doing a pretty good clip of speed, and we knew they were chasing something, or they were headed somewhere, and it wasn't long, and I saw them pull into a parking lot of, I believe it was like a Pentecostal church, of some sort of a church. They pulled in the parking lot, two officers jump out of the car, and they start running after this guy. And I was like, oh, we're getting to see a real live police chase here. This is pretty neat. And I remember sitting in the van, and I was like, get him! Why? Because this guy was running from the police. I was taught better than that. It's like, yes, if he's running, he's got something to hide. Go get him. But you know what? I think of that with this passage of Scripture. Jonah's like, no, God, go get him. Get him, God. They deserve it, God. They're wicked, God. They're a bunch of sodomites, and they're a bunch of people that are doing wicked things, and they're crucifying and torturing people. Go get them, God. Get them. Instead of, God, will you please help them to repent? What's our attitude toward America?
That's good.
I can be guilty of it. Get them. Get them. They deserve it. They deserve it. They deserve judgment because of their wickedness. Well, how many times have I prayed for judgment, or how many times have I prayed for them to repent?
Amen.
God, will you help them to see their sin and repent?
Yes.
Help them
Amen.
To turn from it. Don't just destroy them. God, be merciful to them. What was Abraham doing with Lot? Well, God, will you spare the city? God, will you spare it for 10's sake? Surely Abraham, or Lot and his family, for 10's sake? And there wasn't even 10. But you know what? Abraham was praying for them to for the city of Sodom to be spared. Where's our heart of compassion? That even though they may deserve judgment, I deserve judgment, folks. I know who I am. I deserve judgment. But you know what? Who am I to point fingers and say, get them? They deserve judgment. Look at the wickedness that they're involved in. Look at the sin in which they're wrapped in. But am I praying for their repentance? Man, it was a convicting thought to think about it like that. To think, you know, Jonah's probably saying, go get them. Go get them. Now, Jonah turns and he was obedient and he followed the Lord, and God allowed those people to repent and turn from their wickedness. That's definitely better than them just being destroyed.
Amen.
Having an army of people that would repent and turn from their wickedness, much better than an army of people just completely wiped off the face of the earth. You know why? Because now those people can go and spread it abroad.
Amen.
You know what? We need more repentance. We need more Christians praying for America to repent and turn back to Christ. To turn back, not just to be destroyed.
Sure.
Is that what we deserve? Yeah. Yeah, I firmly believe we deserve God's judgment upon our country.
Sure.
We do. We don't deserve to get away with anything.
You're right.
And we won't. America's not getting away with any sin and the wickedness that we're involved in. There will be judgment coming one day.
Yes, sir.
But it's up to us to try to reach the people that we can. Whose ship are we rocking? Whose ship are we rocking? We can be guilty of rocking somebody else's ship because we're not willing to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we're not willing to get outside of our comfort zone to let God use us. What ministries that are we not a part of that we could be a part of? What areas in the church can we better help in and serve in to try to reach this area? Man, I have my area to reach, my hometown, my neighbors.
Amen.
I could reach those people that you'll never meet.
That's right.
But you know what? There's people here in this area that I'll
yes,
never meet,
amen.
That you can reach that I can't.
That's right.
So whose ship are we rocking? God has put people into our ship. And if we're not telling people, we're rocking their ship. And their ship may be destroyed because of our lack of choice and lack of discernment and lack of desire to see the world reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the question tonight, that one thing, whose ship are we rocking? Whose ship are we rocking? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Maybe the Lord worked in your heart in one way or another in the message tonight. We'll have an invitation. If you need to come and pray and ask God to work on your heart in any way, may the Lord have His perfect will and His way. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You so much for the opportunity once again to be in Your house. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to look at what You've given to us. And Lord, help us to realize there are people that You have placed on this earth for us to influence. And Lord, those people are in our ship. And if we don't do what You've called us to do as Christians, just being a Christian, Lord, that we could be rocking their ship, and their ship may be destroyed because of us. So Lord, please, will You help us to realize and see the urgency of what we must do for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for placing us here where we can reach the people that you placed us to reach. In your name we pray, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me as the piano plays? If you need to come this evening, you come, make a decision, whatever decision the Lord may have worked on your heart about. Whose ship are you rocking? You running from what you know God wants you to do? Maybe this is your second chance.
What tremendous, powerful, convicting truth. You know, we hear it said, listen to it preached. Many times the Lord even convicts us personally. We realize that there's more we can be doing. There's areas in which God has purposed for us. But we're reluctant. Comfort zone is an uncomfortable place. When that comfort zone gets disrupted, it's even yet more uncomfortable. Church, we don't have a lot of time. I have no idea what time frame that is and what amount of time. God will, we say, tarry. God will be just on time. But in our understanding, as He waits with compassion, many can understand, are we doing? Are we answering that Jonah call so that we are able to fulfill? You're here for a reason. You're in this place for a reason. He asked 99% of Christian individuals, do you believe God has a purpose for you? Oh yeah, preacher, absolutely. I believe that with all my heart. God has a purpose. But do you understand your first ordained purpose? Romans chapter 8 says it is to be more like the Son of the living God. Why did He come? Matthew 18:11 tells me He came to save that which was lost. But because of what He needed to go through to save those which were lost, He allowed me to stay in His stead so that others might also get in the boat or the unrocking ship. Amen. Some are still at the altar tonight. How about you? You running? You reluctant? You resistant? Or are you responsive? Responding. Lord God, we we thank you for the powerful truth. And again, challenging, Lord God, message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouraging, moving, singing and music, Lord. Father, thank you for the blessing. Lord God, I don't know what the world's doing this evening. But Lord God Almighty, they missed my blessing. And Father, I just pray that you would allow this evening, Lord, the words that have been spoken, the songs that have been sung, Lord, the words and the message that have been promoted through both, to be ever so moving for us, Lord. God, we're not here to check a box, Heavenly Father. We've come to be touched. And Lord God, that touching can be one of inspiration, encouragement. At the same time, Lord God, it can be one of conviction, compelling. Lord, I plead, I pray, that with each and every one of us, myself included, Lord, we would allow you to have your will and your way. Lord, not just in our life, but Father, in that which you'd have us to do with that which we've heard this evening. Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for, Lord, this group of young ladies who are going about and spreading their gospel message, your gospel message, Lord God, through the blessing of song. For Brother Bartels, Lord God, Father, unction and power, his words, his influence, his ability, Lord God, to move people for your sake. Lord, as we adjourn now, we pray for your blessing and fellowship to follow.